Welcome to the podcast where heavy industrial industries meet the venture capital ecosystem, interviewing both thought-leading investors and pioneering founders to better understand the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead for digital industrial innovation. Your host is Ty Finley, and this is the Heavy Hitters Podcast.
Chris Stern joins us today from Southern California. Chris is Corporate Vice President and Managing Director and co-head and founding member of Trimble Ventures, Trimble's $200 million venture capital fund that targets investments in innovative companies that align with Trimble's mission of transforming work in the construction, geospatial, agricultural, and transportation industries. Chris is also leading Trimble's corporate strategic partnerships, education, and outreach programs, and serves as a member of the board of directors for the Trimble Foundation Fund, leading nonprofit investments in sustainability and disaster resilience. Chris has over 20 years' experience in software, industrial technology, and AEC industries, having served as an executive founder, CEO, advisor, and investor with the technology businesses ranging from startup stage through growth and acquisition, including multiple exits to global public company acquirers, and has led strategic strategy and acquisitions throughout his tenure with Trimble. And prior to Trimble, Chris was a founder and CEO of an infrastructure and work management software company that was acquired by Trimble in 2006 and served as a research and technology officer at the largest municipal utility in the United States. He is a licensed professional engineer, holds master's and bachelor's degrees in engineering, and serves on the boards at Loyola Marymount University and University of California, Los Angeles. Chris, you and Trimble Ventures have been a phenomenal partner to us at Iron Spring Ventures, so I am incredibly excited to have you on the show and finish out 2023 strong. So welcome to the Heavy Hitters.
Thanks, Ty. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, I gave my introduction, but we always ask to start this thing off a little bit more color commentary on that journey, as you are both an exited tech entrepreneur and a venture investor. So, you know, what led you to where you are today leading Trimble Ventures?
It's a long road. I think you guys have done a great job. And I said, Iron Spring, you have been a great partner to Trimble along the way. I'll say that as well. Now, my journey, kind of interesting where we landed, and you gave a good background, but I'd say, you know, speaking to how I landed where I did, it was just sort of a path that was started with engineering. I think, and I wanted to get into engineering in university. And I did touch Trimble Technology. So my path is kind of interesting in the sense of, you know, going back to university and undergrad, took a course in surveying. And that's what, you know, one of the things that piqued my interest. I remember talking to a professor saying, you know, what am I going to major in? And I talked, and I was in engineering college, but I asked, you know, what does civil engineer do? Was mechanical engineer? Was like, I had no idea really the differences. And I remember the one professor said, you know, he's civil engineering, and he said, oh, you know, civil engineers, we build things, you know, and he said roads and, you know, what roads, bridges, water, infrastructure, things like, I always remember him saying that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I like the thought of that and building things. And so there's your answer. You know,
yeah.
Long story short, piqued my interest in building things, and it kind of held true. And I touched survey technology because of the civil engineering program. So my path to Trimble is sort of interesting because, you know, Trimble was the technology we took in our sophomore year. We, you know, touched the equipment, and then, you know, many, many years later, you know, when I ended up starting my own company and then ultimately selling to Trimble, had been that long of a gap between really touching surveying technology and then going, hey, wow, this has come a long way, when Trimble approached me to sell the company and join Trimble in 2006, like you had mentioned, and then been in a variety of roles. So my interest in technology kind of grew heavily right through university and doing internships at the utility, a lot of technology. And I was on the owner side, so I think, you know, probably get into this a little bit, but I look back on my journey and it's on multiple sides. You know, like, I wanted to do a startup, so I left, you know, did an internship at the utility and then ultimately worked there through undergrad and grad school. But, you know, I was, you know, people would call me, oh, you're an owner in the construction world, like the utility company or the city, you know, municipal utility is an owner of infrastructure. And so I've been on that side where you're the buyer and the owner, you know, and then I left, I did the startup. And was involved in some other startups and sort of then got on, you know, investor advisor in that world, joined Trimble, and then was on the buyer side where we were only primarily focused on acquisitions. So we were a buyer of startups or, you know, kind of mature technology companies. you know, and now we launched a venture fund, so I can, you know, today say I'm a corporate venture capital, you know, have that experience. So all sides of it, I think I have a acute maybe empathy for all of the different players in this world that come together when we talk about innovation in the industry. So my journey has been a bit interesting when I look back on it. I definitely have always been interested in innovation and technology, and, you know, Trimble's is transforming the way the world works. But I think that's kind of what's driven me is looking at how we can solve these sort of challenging problems we have. So so there I land, you know, involved in mm-hmm. a lot of things I'm pretty passionate about today.
Well,
including working with IronSpring.
Yeah, well, your background is incredibly well aligned to doing what you're doing at Trimble Ventures, which we'll talk more about. I didn't know the part about civil engineering all the way back to university. That's got to be as full circle a moment to now be at Trimble. So great background there. And maybe to Trimble Ventures, you know, set the stage for the discussion for our listeners. Tell us a little bit more about those high level data points about Trimble Ventures and the fund mandate, in case any of those founders or groups are out there listening. Just want to make sure what's in the sweet spot for you guys.
For sure. So Trimble Ventures, we formed and officially announced it in August of 2021. So we can say we're a little over 2 years, roughly 2 years old, you know, in terms of the life of the fund. We announced a $200 million corporate venture fund and a program. I always say, what is Trimble Ventures? Well, it's also a program where Trimble intentionally engages in the early innovation ecosystem, startups, innovators who are looking to, you know, kind of introduce disruptive technologies, breakout solutions for our core markets. In Trimble, that was broadly speaking construction, ag, and transportation in terms of where we were looking and are looking today. The fund looks at early to growth stage companies. So we set it up to invest in essentially we'd say a Series A plus rounds. We like to find companies that have a solution that has product market fit, meaning they have some early adoption and some revenue. We would say in the 500 to a million range of revenue would qualify you as sort of an early stage company that we would look to invest. We do a co-invest model as well. So Trimble Ventures likes to say we're a friendly invited guest in terms of the approach to investing, where we would invest alongside a qualified lead investor. For example, someone like IronSpring Ventures who takes a lead position. We like to partner because the venture funds that have the experience like you guys do in terms of board governance and helping a startup and a CEO, the diligencing of the deal. So we partner, we co-invest, and we like to focus on the added value that Trimble can offer to a startup in terms of the connectivity with our ecosystem, our technologies, you know, the access to our experts, and, you know, more than just the financial value of a check, you know, participating in the investment round, we try to focus on the added value that Trimble can bring. So that's the goal. It's to intentionally engage and then to leverage our fund to invest where it makes sense, where we feel there's strategic value to Trimble and in a company that truly can bring some form of innovation disruption to the industry.
Yep. And we're going to go much deeper on what we've seen at length. You guys drive a lot of value to your portfolio companies. I think the tagline is accelerating your growth. So we're definitely going to go deeper on that. But I do want to first kick us off here. And again, you and the Trimble Ventures team have been such great allies to us over the years, whether it's studying markets, diligencing innovators, connecting and building the venture ecosystem, as you mentioned, et cetera. And we even have our first co-investment together at One Rail. And none of that's a surprise, given how incredibly aligned both of our sectors of focus are, you know, construction, transportation, geospatial, renewable energy, et cetera, markets that, you know, to use your tagline, transform the way the world works. And so obviously aligned to that, Trimble overall defines itself as an industrial technology company concentrated on helping the world work better. So let's go deeper into that thesis with the simple question: why is it so important that we get this right to transform the way the world works? And maybe tack on to that, why would I think the last earnings call I caught, $1.94 billion annualized recurring revenue industrial technology giant, why did it think standing up a CVC unit in Trimble Ventures could help accelerate that mission?
It's a great question. I mean, it's a great sort of lead into the fundamental question of why. You know, why does this matter and why are we doing what we're doing? you know, stepping back just to Trimble's story and even my connection to Trimble, you know, saying surveying instrument that I saw, you know, when I was a sophomore in university, most of the work, you know, Trimble and Charlie Trimble and the innovation that's come out of the company has expanded into the application of technology positioning, measurement, into a variety of markets and solutions over time. And this is an and. It's not a bolt-on or an experiment. This is and. This is a maturity of the company and the growth in terms of how we approach innovation, more I'd say broadly speaking. So when I talk about Trimble Ventures, this is an and. Our new CEO, we've only had three CEOs. So if you look at Trimble, it's interesting. You talk about the AR, the scale of the company. You know, this is a north of $3.5 billion annual revenue company. When I joined, it was $1 billion. So things have grown. They've expanded globally. They've expanded in terms of hardware and software, mixture of the offerings that we deliver, the industries we serve. It's dynamic. It's diverse. And so when we look at, hey, innovation is accelerating, we know that. We've intentionally engaged in a variety of activities. Acquisitions was one. So we've done over 200 acquisitions. There's notable acquisitions in you know, speaking construction specifically. A couple of our largest were, you know, Viewpoint on the ERP side, eBuilder on the program owner, program and project management, capital program management side. But there's a variety of strategic acquisitions to augment the portfolio. We've invested in universities. So we have Trimble Tech Labs in close to 30 universities in 16 countries where we see innovation coming out of, you know, not just undergrad engagement and providing them technologies and skills, but you also see graduate research and startups and ideas spinning out. We have a program with Cambridge in the UK where there's a Trimble Research Fund. Where they're doing all sorts of innovative construction tech research. So you get back to ventures and you say, okay, why? And I say and because it's an and. It's a company at our level of maturity needs to more formally engage with the really disruptive early innovation ecosystem. It's not okay to sit back and watch it happen. You know, we say hope is not a strategy. And, you know, the idea here was we were already doing it. In some senses, we had folks on our team, our heads of innovation, people in different parts of the world engaging with startups. You know, we had collaborations going on, but we said, let's bring that all together and let's intentionally do this the right way. We looked at all of the approaches. We did this thoughtfully. We looked at this for many years. So the launch of Trimble Ventures in some senses was, you know, years in the making in terms of formulating the scope and the model that would work for Trimble. In terms of how we approach it, and we've you know launched it thoughtfully, and I feel it's been successful. You know, we've sort of increased the awareness that Trimble exists for startups and can help startups in our ecosystem. I think it's also an education process that we continue today. It's one of our biggest challenges to bring awareness. So this is helpful. You know, make startups aware that they can reach out to Trimble, and there are a host of technologies. Whether you're building a robotic solution. You know, we're not just software. What's interesting about Trimble, and I think with the roots of Iron Spring and some of the folks in this ecosystem, Caterpillar and others, Hilti, who deal with, you know, real construction where software can't necessarily do the work, do a lot of the thinking and the analytics, but it can't physically do the work. And you have machines, you have robotics, and you have surveying instruments, and there's innovation in that world. So we've actually designed it so that we can start engaging, bring awareness, and then bring added value to help, you know, ultimately create new solutions that help our customers and the market address some of the challenges in construction. You know, we know the scale of the construction industry. We know the scale, you know, $12 trillion industry. We know the scale of the impacts to sustainability and carbon emissions. You know, the emissions there are significant in construction. You know, we know the workforce challenges with lack of workers. Coming into the workforce, folks leaving the workforce, and productivity challenges. So I think those are pretty well known, but that's how we're approaching it. This is an and. This is another pillar in our approach to innovation.
Well, it's incredibly impressive because it is a blueprint, especially for such a cornerstone industrial technology company. lots of different innovation efforts here and there, but you guys certainly have built a great reputation in the ecosystem. And I think a part of, you know, that next part of the storyline after, you know, say a group has thought that ventures is the right and to add into the portfolio, it really does come back to now, can you back it up driving that value? And so I want to move the discussion into that more targeted talk track around creating value for your portfolio companies. And, you know, this has been a critical topic over the last decade. We've all seen the reports of how this, you know, corporate venture capital ecosystem has been a dramatic rise in the deal volume and dollars impacted within the broader VC landscape. And so I mentioned the tagline earlier, you guys say accelerating your growth is how you'd like to show up to support your portfolio companies, helping them connect and scale, which is, you know, something that your CEO, Rob Painter, he hits on consistently for the company. And so when the website calls out those three categories of where you want to drive value, access, hands-on innovation, and connection, all of which we've seen you guys do an amazing job activating to drive value. So maybe outside of me being familiar, you know, fill our audience in on all of this and how you've designed your internal processes to be able to activate what's an amazingly broad set of resources within Trimble, but you do it in a structured and scalable way that oftentimes can be really tricky within a corporate. So I know this for a fact. Startup founders are looking for this type of deep domain experience commercialization support now more than ever. And honestly, many of our other CVC audience members for the show, they're always looking to hear best practices, how others are doing it. So would love for you to tell the Trimble Ventures way.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I mean, like I say, going back to my background, I was that startup person,
That's right.
On the other side of this thing, you know, and I'm not going to go into details when I raised money of you know, folks that I thought were going to add value and folks that I did not think were going to add value, and then realizing it was the opposite.
You got a little bit of empathy here, right?
Experience. Yes. And I think that, okay, what are the questions you ask as a startup founder is a different thing. But I think with Trimble Ventures and what we've done is, you know, Trimble by itself, the DNA of this group of folks that a startup will engage with is interesting because you have a large amount of acquisitions. I'd mentioned previously over 200 over time Trimble's done. And so it's not very uncommon to run into someone in a meeting. In fact, it's more likely that you will, who came through an acquisition. So it lived in your shoes.
Sure.
And understands those dynamics. So that's number one. We talk about the value add. I think starting with the markets we serve, we're very deeply entrenched. So when we talk about construction or geospatial, specifically for this audience, you know, we have software managing construction projects. We have hardware on the job site. We have solutions that cover design, you know, planning and design, whole life cycle, all the way through the build and construction phase to the owner operating and maintaining that asset, that building, that infrastructure over the long haul. So the breadth of the, you know, kind of the value add scope, it always becomes a match. How do we match and where do we connect with that startup? What problem are they solving we look for? And then when we say access, hands-on innovation and connection, we focus on that in that particular area. We have tons of technology experts. Our head of innovation is on the ventures team. So when it comes to anything to do with the latest innovations, whether that be AI applications, whether it be satellite-based communications and high accuracy positioning for machine control and autonomy, robotics. So we have access. So you, when I say access is one thing, hands-on innovation, access to leaders in pretty much every technology category relevant to construction. We provide that. We look at the relationship as a partnership. So an investment equals a partnership with the startup. And so we like to get them connected and join a partner program at Trimble. There's not a one size fits all for that. Some programs are designed around hardware, some around software, but we help that company get connected properly, form an appropriate relationship, partnership with us. And we facilitate that via Trimble Ventures. We don't own and operate those business units, but we facilitate that access that we're talking about, connect them with the innovators and technology leaders. And it might not even be, we say innovation, it might not be a technology innovation. They might just need go-to-market expertise. You know, how do I sell this? How do I price this? How would I take that to market? Could it go through a dealer? Should it go through direct sales? All those types of things, are there nuances in a particular region of the world? And then the connection and the network that Trimble has, I think a lot of folks were exposed to this. We hosted the Global Construction Startup Competition at Trimble Dimensions this year with, you know, eight great companies besides Trimble that were all partners of this. And you talk about a network. So that was Hilti and Ferrovial and Vinci. We had Saint-Gobain, we had Zakua Ventures, you know, Iron Spring was involved in that and in some of those activities. You know, and Cemex, you know, who kicked this thing off years ago, Black and Veatch and others. And so that connectivity and that network in terms of potential customers and partners for a startup are, you know, there's exposure and there's access. So we look at all those things and say, you know, if we're investing, we want to help this company grow. You know, their success is tied to our success. We also, you know, one of the big things for Trimble, and I was saying starting Trimble Ventures, we have so many tools, and you gave the example of, you know, one of the Iron Spring portfolio companies, One Rail, where they were introduced to the Trimble transportation business and software platform called Trimble Maps, which, you know, they were looking for capabilities to help them, and they ended up partnering and integrating and working together before we chose to invest. So there's a lot of technology Trimble has in terms of SDKs, APIs for software, GNSS and positioning technology that can be embedded into the future, you know, of robotics, machine control, autonomy. It's a broad spectrum, and our challenge, like I said, is to help educate, simplify, and help the startup be successful. But we highlight those areas, you know, as kind of the key areas: access, hands-on innovation, connection to help accelerate the growth of the startup. That's what we're, you know, ultimately interested in if we make an investment.
Absolutely. And I love how you said around the commercialization, because technology, non-trivial to build a great technology solution, but really that go-to-market expertise of studying the markets deeply, who's the user, who's the buyer, what pricing models do they buy, what is the buying cycles for the industries, all of those things that you guys are really entrenched in. And I would say, either watching the startup competition at Dimensions this year, or you guys had a good showing of innovators external to Trimble included at the Insight conference, that ecosystem you guys are building around it. Again, I think a lot of CVC listeners out there, there's a lot of blueprint to be had here. And Chris, maybe an unfair question to tack on, but all of the things you guys are doing, if someone was to just say, what is the first step to driving value? Like that first thing you would advise these other corporate venture capital groups on their journey? Is there any, like, this is the first thing I would focus on to start my value add journey?
Well, I think, and you're speaking to the value add for the company, not the startup, correct?
That's right. Yes.
And I think that, you know, if I look at that, I would say, you know, and this is a bit trivial, but it's just, you know, start with the why. You know, I always point people to the Simon Sinek, you know, start with why. It's a bit dated,
yeah,
old, but the story is still relevant. It's relevant for startups. It's relevant for, and it really is relevant in this context because, you know, I'd mentioned, you know, Trimble has evolved. It's matured and we've contemplated this. So the timing has to be right and you have to have a clear why. You know, why are we doing this? Rob Painter, you mentioned our CEO came in 2020 as the third in the whole history of Trimble, is only the third CEO. And he has the next level strategy, which you mentioned, called connect and scale, and to grow the business, to kind of move to platform, move to extend our solutions and scale out. Our why was about connecting and scaling our business, reaching new customers, new partners in a connected kind of platform approach. And that's what we've been doing on the technology side, on the innovation side. And externally, I would say, you know, what's the why? It's you know, it's engaging, it's relevant, but it's ultimately, you know, it's a partnership. It's you're reaching a new set of customers and partners potentially in the startup world. It's a category that's often overlooked because, you know, to a sales organization or a product group, you know, a startup is not going to spend a whole bunch of money buying your technology or your product. But if they're innovating and solving a really challenging problem, you know, some people will always say, you know, the CVC value is radar intelligence and insights into disruptive innovations and activities in the market. Yes, it is. That's a given. I don't think that's disputed. But I think in terms of engaging and getting your technology into these new disruptions, that's our intention. Our intention is it's an and. This is a partner category. This is an ecosystem category that we weren't intentionally addressing. And so, you know, the next unicorn that has, you know, a robotics solution for, let's just say, construction or building construction, it would be a win to have Trimble technology included in that solution in some way, connected in some way versus not. And I don't think that's a disputed point. The thing is, you can, I said this all the time, is hope is not a strategy. You can't hope that they use Trimble technology when they get to a certain point and can, you know, afford to use your technology if you're a company and contemplating a CVC. Hope is not a strategy, but if you engage with them very early and you support and you add value and find ways to help these companies be successful, then there will be no surprise that you are successful with them where relevant. So I think that's the key point. It is the fundamental question for CVCs. It's not a financial investment. So the debate is it strategic or is it financial? And the answer is always both. But the strategic has to be compelling.
Absolutely. And it really does start with the why and how that ultimately rolls up to the overall goals of the company. I think it's really well said. Well, with that, I'll push us forward one more time. And, you know, given this episode is wrapping up the 2023 heavy hitters season, and plus all of us VCs are blown off the dust of our crystal balls and getting ready for 2024 predictions, I definitely have to go to a crowd favorite question here with you as my guest. So our audience of listeners, we're always looking to learn about leading trends or areas that have the fastest moving adoption within this ecosystem of industrial technology. So in a section I like to call what's hot and what's hype, you know, what are Chris's 2024 predictions on maybe which technologies or innovative approaches are going to be hot and get a little bit more scale under them over the next year versus maybe what are some areas of innovation that are definitely promising, but likely more so in a Gartner term, overhyped, at least for now. So feel free to dive in and, you know, take it any way directions you like on how Trimble Ventures is thinking about it in 2024.
Well, sure. I you know, we've stayed pretty honed in on kind of solution areas versus specific technologies. However, you're right. There are some hype cycles around specific technologies, and then it becomes, okay, well, how do you deploy that or how is it applied to solve a problem?
Absolutely.
Think about that. And, you know, one that we can't not mention is AI. I mean, one of the big things for us, Trimble, is we have a partnership that has been established for a couple of years now that is a very strategic. You know, one area for me is strategic partnerships, and Microsoft is one of those. Obviously, everyone has seen Microsoft's involvement in AI, you know, in terms of the investment in OpenAI, you know, major investment, application of that into Microsoft. We've been collaborating around AI for many, many, many years in terms of how it has evolved, you know, taking satellite imagery and sort of feature extraction identification. But the application of AI, you say, what's hype and what's real? I think that one fits right in the middle of that discussion and debate. You know, question is it hyped? Is it overhyped? I'd say no. I'd say there's probably a confusion, overhyped in terms of confusion about what does it actually mean. But I'd say in terms of disruptive technology, I would say I haven't seen anything that really, you know, hits that mark, meaning it can disrupt solutions, it can disrupt incumbents in markets that are very big and no one chose to go after those markets. A lot of things to say, oh, hey, that's a mature big market, we're not going to pursue it. But when you have these types of moments, compute platforms change from, you know, server to cloud, or, you know, in this case, AI can completely upend traditional markets and solutions. So our, you know, one big area, I'd say if I just picked one, is AI and its broad applications, because it feeds right into robotics and autonomy. It feeds into our positioning and our mapping services in terms of identification of specific data in a 3D, you know, kind of point cloud or data collection or satellite image in the surveyor's world, you know, can simplify and reduce cost and increase productivity. That's the one big one. I think on an interesting one, I think that, you know, say overhyped, broadly speaking, is, you know, this is a challenge for startups, is a lot of the disruptive technologies that were proposed were sort of incremental. You know, and there's a struggle to raise money right now, I think, for companies that raised in the past. So it's less about the specifics, but we like digital twins. I mean, that's the one theme you mentioned. I think the term was a bit overhyped, but not the application and the actual use case about taking a 3D digital model. How do you capture it? How do you process it? How do you use it in the construction process? And then how do you hand it off to an owner, you know, and not have these gaps in every step of a project where the data is lost? So one common thread there is sort of data, you know, data in the form of a digital model. I was saying digital twin, but data in general across the construction lifecycle. How do you maintain it? How do you augment it? How do you leverage it for added value? Is one big area of focus for us, opportunities around that. And then we have, you know, generally, you know, say reality capture, the way you capture 3D content and data in real time throughout a project lifecycle, a big area for us. And then, you know, one, it's a bit unique, I say, to Trimble, just because we have so much experience in sort of hardware development around precision measurement, autonomy, is generally kind of autonomy and robotics. I don't think it's necessarily overhyped. I think it's just a very challenging problem to solve for construction processes, or, you know, like I said, in ag, we've made some investments in autonomy solutions. One's electrified autonomous tractors, Monarch tractor, which is in the ag space, which is using computer vision and autonomy technology, is very advanced, but also electrification for sustainability. So I still like, you know, the opportunity around, I don't, you know, sustainability, you know, question overhyped. Well, you know, there's phases of you know, level of hype, but the reality is there's a real need for solutions that can help drive improved, you know, kind of reduce carbon emissions and do it in a real consistent, you know, kind of science-based approach for that. So sustainability still continues to be a big opportunity we see across all of our different solutions. Long answer, but
no, it's good. We got the hunting grounds for 24.
Major change.
Yeah, consistent.
AI stands out on its own.
Yeah, well, all of it, and you know our soapbox on sustainability. We feel inherently industrial technology is all about sustainability, and lots of nuance of how you go about that discussion. And more data interconnected in the construction tech industry over the last decade than I can remember. So definitely aligns to the connect part of the strategy. So all the listeners have it on record what Chris and team are looking for in 24. So appreciate you sharing. And maybe quickly, we do always love to bring the show back to folks like yourself, formerly the founders that are in that arena, and maybe some words of wisdom. You mentioned fundraising's getting tougher, but you know, for those that are thinking about venture capital and engaging with Trimble Ventures, any words of wisdom that we like to split, you know, kind of a key to success when they enter the chat, or a common challenge to maybe avoid and head off before they get going?
I think right now, the moment in time, I mean, there's some general thoughts. Like for me, you know, doing a startup, and I always think about, you know, the problem that you're solving being compelling. Like to me, that's just so foundational that, you know, everyone probably knows that, but it just needs to be reiterated, is, you know, make sure that you look at the problem that you're addressing and make sure it's compelling to solve it. I know people get passionate about things, but look at it in a way that you can say, okay, if I solve this for one company, what's the savings? What's the value? Understand that, and then scale it out and see how big you can scale that and defend what scale looks like, because that's the nature of the value of the problem. They say, is the juice worth the squeeze type thing. People will look at the business that way externally. You need to understand how people are looking at the business from a venture world. Now, again, not every company, you know, needs to raise or is qualified or requires venture capital, but I think still looking at a problem like that, if you're going to own, start and put the effort, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to build a business. I can say that. People don't always think that and don't give people credit for that. It is a lot of hard work, and make sure that it's worth it. You understand the value to your customers, to your partners and potential investors. I think that's the number one thing. I think the other thing that is very relevant right now is sort of how you value it. And I always talk about kind of end game backwards, or not even end game, but future state, which is down the road. You pick the point in time, but But you think about like, where will I be in 3 to 5 years with this business? If you're going to go down the raise cap, venture capital, and, you know, people talk about an exit. People get too excited about, oh, someone values me at this, you know, and that was, is what happened in the last couple of years, is that there were kind of irrational excitement. You know, you get these sort of bubbles. And, you know, if you as a founder say, oh, great, oh, this person will give me, you know, I don't know, 10 million pre-money valuation on my financial raise, and this one's giving me 15 million on my raise. And that's all you think about. And you don't work beyond that scenario. You don't think, okay, in 2 years, where will I be? In 5 years, where will I be? And if in 2 years, you can't even justify that valuation doing simple math, because I always say math's not an opinion, you know, that's where you need some financial advice. And you don't get too excited early. You know, have a progression, take a reasonable growth path, including how you value the company. Don't just try and get a big number on paper. But I think those are the two big things, which is really understand the value of the business now and in the future and how you're going to get there. You know, work backwards on what are the steps, how do I build a valuable business between now and some future state. So 3 years out, that's great. 3 to 5 is reasonable. I think those are the biggest situations right now. And I think for founders who are in that position where they've raised money, I think they're dealing with challenges. You know, they've raised money on big valuations. I think we're seeing a lot of that today. These are cycles. They play themselves out. The thing to do is put your head down and go deliver the value. I said that first example of, you know, here's this company, I'm solving this problem. What's the value? Well, if it's so valuable, go sell. Go put your head down. Go get the customers. I personally had to go through that when I was raising money. The dot-com bubble burst. Our venture investor, who was in final, you know, term sheet, ready to roll, they closed. I actually didn't have a choice. I did have a choice. I could have gone and spent a ton of time trying to raise money again, you know, but I ended up just saying, I'm not going to do it. It's so time consuming. And we just got profitable. And you know, to the point where we sold to Trimble ultimately and joined, but that wasn't quite a choice, you know, really, for me at that point in time. But I think you have that choice. It's important to know that is if you have a good company, you should feel compelled to go tell all the potential customers how great it is and go, you know, win that business and show that progression versus the venture side, or getting too caught up in the today.
Yeah. Well, it's such great advice. And, you know, it's a different way of saying it with the Dr. Covey phrase, begin with the end in mind. You know, when you pick industries like construction or transportation, and I think, Chris, the onus is on me and you too to help guide that discussion. We don't have the answers, but we know how fast these industries scale. We know how fast the buyers buy. We know what the M&A teams are looking for. And so we have some purview that can help not get too head out of your skis, you know, as the venture ecosystem was on fire the last few years. So I think it's great advice for 2024, and looking forward to help guide some founders alongside Trimble Ventures on it. So with that, we'll bring this home here, a little rapid fire Q&A section we call quick hitters. So if you're ready to jump in, Chris, we will.
Let's do it.
Okay. Number one thing you're looking for when you're evaluating a founder attacking these industrial technology industries.
My biggest thing is you know, it's a passion and energy. Like I feel like that's a massive differentiator. When I saw, you know, and I found something I wanted to go pursue, I'd say, you know, probably anyone you talk to, me telling about the program, like, what's he talking about? They didn't know our industry, but I was so passionate about wanting to deal with this. I found the thing that I could solve that needed to be solved and had compelling, and you could just feel it. You could feel the energy, feel the passion, and you see that in the founder. I've also sat in front of founders, and I sat in someone who, you know, why are you doing this? I always ask, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And they said, you know, I really think this is good, and I also want to make a bunch of money and, you know, buy a fancy car. And, you know, immediately it just like, that's not why you do these things. You don't do them to get rich. You know, that happens if you're successful, period. You can be that, and that can be an output. But the reality is, you know, you find people who are passionate, they're going to be the most successful. The other thing that ideally you have, that's my number one, is some track record and experience, either directly or able to surround you with. And that's where the added value of like an Iron Spring or Trimble, you know, the kind of mixture of folks can help that person, but you can't substitute passion and energy.
Love it. What's one resource, could be a book, podcast, blog, whatever you recommend our audience to follow in this ecosystem?
A heavy hitters.
There we go.
Heavy hitter, of course. This is, you know, this is the one. You know, there's a whole host of things and books and everything. Mine that, you know, I always point to this one. It's stale, it's dated, but I always like this one because it puts you in the shoes of a person sitting there saying, hey, will I start a company? I always think about that decision point that I had to make. You know, everyone's at a different place, and I'm very supportive of founders of startups because how hard it is to make that commitment, take that risk. It's huge. And there's this book called The Monk and the Riddle. It's dated. I don't know how many people talk about it anymore, but when I talk to even university students or others, you know, I don't want to inspire someone to take an unnecessary risk, but you know, the story is about someone who talks about doing something their whole life and they ultimately, you know, retire from their job and then say, I'm going to do it. And they do it. And unfortunately, you know, the person has passed away. So it's a bit morbid, you know, in the reality of the story it tells. But it tells the story is don't put off to the future what you can do today that you really want to do. Don't wait until it's too late. And I always say, you know, a hockey guy, like Wayne Gretzky's quote, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Absolutely.
And I use those. I feel like that's, you know, important. All the other books, and there's a whole host of Crossing the Chasm and all these different types of things, but they're more kind of once you're in it about the process, the journey. But I feel like startups need passion. They need passion to get through these moments, you know, and willingness to take a risk. So I like supporting that. So those are kind of moving stories for me.
Right on. Well, then who's one person that can help us wave the flag in these sectors, these markets, and should be on the podcast?
Thinking about that, about who's great at this, because we were going into our Trimble Dimensions conference and saying, who do we put on our, you know, Shark Tank if we're going to put someone for Trimble and I'm up there on stage, who would be a great person? And I just keep coming back to Charlie Trimble because, you know, literally he was that person. He had this idea, and the story of Trimble was him. You know, he was an engineer at Hewlett Packard. He ultimately was inventing GPS technology that didn't commercialize. They chose not to commercialize it, and he spun it out. He bought it. The story of Trimble ties to Charlie Trimble and the creation of the GPS technology and commercialization of it across the globe, really. And you think about that story, and there have been some articles. You know, there have been some things that have been posted, but when you hear it from Charlie and you talk about his journey and the company went public under Charlie Trimble to make it to several $100 million business. That's a brilliant story. Like for me, that's another big reason I enjoy doing what I do at Trimble, because it ties to that connection for me of someone who, you know, very like me, but better, smarter. You know, he's Caltech, he's brilliant, and he took it all the way, you know, and I sold in 5 years, you know, and most of the companies I've been involved in on that side of the fence were, you know, 5 years ish kind of businesses versus taking them, you know, the full journey. So that would be someone I think would be great. Rob Painter, you know, if I pick number two, you want to talk about the journey going forward, it would be brilliant as well. In the middle was Steve Berglund. And I think the story of Trimble, you have three different CEOs who've taken on three different journeys to different scale and different models. So, you know, Charlie, Steve Berglund, and Rob Painter would be, you know, brilliant.
Wow. Maybe that would be the roundtable of all roundtables right there, Chris. So we got an action item. Try to pull it. That's probably more like a Trimble corporate thing, but I'd love to see it. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, the best way for folks to reach out to you, Chris, after the show.
Best way is on, you know, social. Like I'm on social. You can send a note. We've gotten some inbounds that way. And then we have a site, ventures.trimble.com, with access to kind of submit information or request a contact or reach out to me. That's the best way to do it. I always suggest just reach out directly. The ventures.trimble.com is for sure the best site to go look at, because you can connect, you can reach out, but you can also learn a bit about kind of who we are, what we are, and what we do. So that's probably what I'd suggest.
Excellent. Well, I think we could both be very aligned that this industrial technology movement is not slowing down anytime soon this decade. I think it is the decade for all of what we focus on. So I'm looking forward to rowing the boat more in 2024, Chris. Appreciate you coming on the show and sharing.
Thanks, Ty, and happy holidays. Appreciate it.